Would y'all give my Falls Creek band a big clap of thanks and gratitude for the hard work they've done? Man, tell you what, this year Falls Creek was a little different. I got asked to speak in front of all the kids in Tabernacle, but I want you to know, FBC Ardmore, I'm still more nervous speaking in front of you guys. You know what I'm saying? There's 4,000 kids there, and yet you're still scarier. So, Dr. Pannon, you're boss, wherever you are. All right. And you're my boss, and you knew that. Anyway, we had two amazing weeks at Falls Creek, and it was awesome. I know our students want to thank a few people. I want to thank a few people. And so I'm just going to ask some people to stand up. Gene, while I'm looking at you, that was like the Native American version of you earlier, man. That guy and you are like brothers. I told Jordan, I go, that guy looks just like Gene. Anyway, you look better than him, by the way. But turning the page, sticking to the notes. Here we go. All right. I want to thank a few people, and I know my students want to thank a few people. So if you were one of my cooks for the last 2 weeks, would you stand up and be recognized? Don, don't forget. That's you too. Got some in the balcony. Oh, yeah, that's good. Don stayed seated, but Don came up and cooked for us, and Amy helped him out this year, both 2 days. It was awesome. We were grateful to have him. Also, if you were one of my adult leaders that decided to spend some of your precious vacation time in Falls Creek, would you stand up and be recognized? Camp would not work without these people. And I'm proud to say in the last 2 years, we've followed the rules on how many adults we're supposed to have. And it was a good feeling. Before that, we were breaking those rules. But anyway, now we're on track with those rules. That was rough. Anyway, it has been a great week, couple weeks, and those people helped make it happen. Without them, camp would not have been able to work. I also want to thank some people as individuals. I want to thank my assistant, Miss Madison Deer. She's up in the balcony. Without Madison, it'd be safe to say that none of the paperwork would be done right, so she made sure that we could get in the gate and get in the door. And then I also want to thank our pastors and all of our ministers for supporting me as we go to camp, so would y'all thank them as well? And the last person I want to thank is my favorite person in the whole wide world, and that's my beautiful wife. I want to thank her because without her, camp would just be a struggle bus. And thanks for getting me and understanding and helping me do the right thing. So thank you. And I saved the best for last. No, I'm just kidding. I got one more. And that's these crazy interns that I have. These people know what it means to be pulled out as an audible right at the last minute. They know what it's like to work in my mind and work in my brain. And somehow they survived the summer. Kavehi, where are you at, Kev? There you are. Would you stand up for everyone to see you one more time? And Jasper, would you stand up for everyone to see you one more time? Thank you. These guys have done a fantastic job investing in the lives of our students, putting up with me, and also just being confused by me. They've done really good at that. Their last day with us is Wednesday, and they have the future to step into. Kavehi's about to go get married before summer ends, and then back to OBU. And Jasper's about to head back to, it's in Missouri, but I always mess up the name, Midwestern Baptist Seminary or College School, and he's looking to go and do mission work again and be used by God however he can. These two have done a fantastic job. Camp was awesome. Camp was great. I want to thank you guys for your support. It wouldn't work without a church that believes in Falls Creek. It wouldn't work without a church that loves student ministry and wants to see student ministry thrive. And so, church, I want to thank you as well for donating and tithing. And also, parents, I want to thank you for trusting me with your tax deductions or your children, whatever you prefer to call them. But I want to thank you so much for letting them be with us. I want to talk to you a little bit about what was going on the weeks of camp. Our weeks are very similar. We do change a few things, but we kind of keep it in the text because the text is the most applicable thing into our lives. And so I want to share with you guys some key texts that we read and also just a couple of points. I hope your children have told you a little bit about camp, and maybe after today you could talk to them and ask them more in detail. But I want to take you with us on a journey because we wouldn't go to camp without First Baptist Church Ardmore supporting us. And so in a way, you were at camp with us, and this is your little dose of camp. And so I hope that you guys will take this and allow it to apply to your lives in the same way that these children have allowed it to apply to theirs. We talked about what it means to be a kingdom people. And we address the issue that young people are facing and all people are facing in the world today, and that's the issue of identity. We could say that there's never been a time as confusing as the time that we currently live in, where age is now up to you to guess and say, well, I identify as this, I'm no longer that. Gender no longer stands as a binary situation of one or the other. It's a maybe or an if or a but. And we understand that the confusion of identity that the world has put out there is nothing more than a mask and a lie that the enemy has put up and put our people to walk through. And you as adults have to walk through this with children. You as grandparents have to walk through this with grandchildren. These students have to walk through this in a very clouded and strange time. And not only do they wrestle with the identity of those big issues, but they also wrestle with the identity of themselves being maybe just an athlete or maybe just a smart kid or a band kid or maybe just a gamer. And so they put on these labels and these identities of just the exterior and something that's not necessarily true of themselves, but it's only true. It might be true for a moment, but it's not true forever. And so we want to stand firm in the identity that God has given us. We want to stand firm in the identity that Christ has told us that we are. So we looked into his word, and as you guys are with me, we'll put the verses up on the screen. But if you want to open up your Bibles, the first verse I'm going to go to and the main verse for our camp was found in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Yeah. It's starting in verse 9. There you go. Thank you. Verse 9 says this, but you are not like that. And let's just pause for a moment and break that down, because it's very important to start into a verse that starts with a but. You are not like that. Like a what? Peter is writing this verse in this section of Scripture to a very specific audience. Pinterest has taken God's word and taken God's promises and applied it to all people, and sometimes those promises are made for his people. Sometimes those promises are made for those who surrender themselves to him, not those who are lost and still struggling in need of him. So anyway, it says this, but you are not like that. You're not lost, some of y'all. This verse is for Christians. This verse is for those who put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ. This verse is for those who've been transformed and changed by the gospel. Let me go on and tell you a little bit more and why it's like that. It says this, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, and now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, and now you have received God's mercy. The text said chosen, royal, holy, God's very own possession. We went from being a people without identity to now being people who are claimed and called God's. This doesn't apply to those who are lost and those who have yet accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And something that we talked about to our students is we asked them, man, where do you stand with the Lord? Where do you stand in your identity? Is your identity built upon the things of your own accomplishments, or is your identity secure and the things of what God has said of you because you've surrendered your life to him? We've talked about this thing being a kingdom people, and so we talk to the kids and we ask them to take off their crowns and to lay their crown down at the feet of the Lord and to live as a servant of the king, a child of the king. Something that's true in culture today is that we don't respect authority and we don't respect those in charge of us. We would have no shot surviving in a kingdom lifestyle, because we fight against everything above us. But what we've told these students, and what maybe you need to hear too, is that whenever it comes down to us and God, we don't get to tell God what he's going to do. God tells us what to do, and we say, yes, sir. We obey. We live out in obedience. But we live in a culture that's told us, man, just fight against it. Just fight against what everything else has told you to do. But when God tells us something, although it's contrary to our wants or our own fleshly desires, we have to say yes, because he is the king. If we are one of his people. We talked much about a young man named David, a boy who had been rejected by his family, one that might have been seen as an expendable son to his earthly father. But when God saw David, he saw the king of his people. He saw in him the one to come. God doesn't look on the outside, is something we told your students. The text says this, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says this, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him, talking about his older brother. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. But the Lord looks at the heart. And to our students, this is a quick sign of relief. Maybe to some of our adults, you're like, whew, I don't have to put on my face today. The Lord looks at the heart, right? I don't have to impress anybody else. I just have to live for him. But if you think about it, it kind of makes us look at our heart a little bit more. Because we can fool on the outside. We can put on a mask. We can put on some type of garb. We can put on an action, emotion. We could put on some type of lifestyle. But guess what? That lifestyle might fool your pastor. That might fool your youth pastor. It might fool your Sunday school teacher. But that lifestyle does not fool the Lord, because He sees your heart. And so we talk to these students about what their heart looks like, and we challenge them to realize that God's not fooled by the exterior. Although the world evaluates, although the world judges, and all the world based everything upon the outside of who you are, God is far greater than the world, and He looks at who you really are. And you can't lie or deceive or fool the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We talk to him about everlasting change. We use an illustration of the man born blind. When the disciples asked, why was he born like this? Is it because of his sin, or is it because of his parents' sin that he was born this way? John 9, verse 3 says this, and it's Jesus' response. It is not because of his sin or his parents' sin, Jesus answered. This happens so the power of God can be seen in him. We talk to these young people about how sometimes we ask the wrong question. Sometimes we ask the wrong questions, and sometimes we live in a way where we think God only cares about us based on how we got to Him, or based on what our family's life is like. Sometimes we base it all on what we've done and how we don't deserve this. But listen, God looks at us and He sees our situation, although it is broken and although it is in need of great and desperate repair. He looks at it and He says, I want you because I want to display my power in you. No one comes to the King worthy of being a kingdom people. We all come to the King in need of a Savior. And whenever we come to the King, what we told these kids and parents, I hope you're listening because it's true for you. It's not just a teenage thing. What we told these students is this. You come to the King broken, but you leave a child of the King, and you leave forever changed by the King. We don't want to see another Falls Creek where kids came and got baptized but didn't live out the faith that they were called to live out. We want to see a Falls Creek that radically transforms not only the lives that got in that water, but the lives of their families at home, the lives of the community around us, the life of this church. We want to see God use this to transform and do powerful, great things, things that only He could do. We told our students that Jesus doesn't just save you for the moment. Jesus doesn't just transform you for a moment. He transforms you for a lifetime, for eternity. The blind man was later rejected by his family, rejected by his community, rejected by those around him. And when he was rejected and he was all alone, it says this in verse 35. When Jesus heard what had happened, let's pause for a moment and just praise God for this little bit of awesomeness. Do you know that God knows your story? Do you know that Jesus knows what has happened to you? Do you know that Jesus understands your issue, your battle, your struggle, your fight? And how cool is it to see right here in the text that when Jesus had heard what happened, Jesus found the man and he asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man answered, who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. You have seen him, Jesus said, and he is speaking to you, exclamation point. Yes, Lord, I believe, the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. FBC Ardmore, if I could talk to you for a moment. I'm grateful for your attention so far. I just want a little bit more of it. But let me tell you, how cool is it to know that this man would not have been able to see Jesus had he not encountered Jesus Christ earlier. This man would not have been able to recognize who it was who cleansed him and healed him of his blindness. And when he was asked, do you believe in the Son of Man? He had no idea. This is the same guy that wiped the mud, or put the mud on my face and sent me to the pool of peace to wash. But yet, whenever he saw Jesus face to face, his life was forever changed. His life was forever changed in an even greater way than whenever he gained sight. His eyes were open in that moment, but now he's a son of the King. Now he's a chosen kingdom person of God. And now we'll get to see him in heaven, and guess what? He'll get to see us too. How dope is that, right? He was blind, but now he's not. What? But when we encounter the King, it leads us to a place of worship, just like it did for this man. No matter what our situation is, no matter how the music sounds, no matter how the pastor sounds, no matter how the people are dressed around you, when we encounter the King of Kings, it puts us in a response of surrender. We talk to our students about how when Christ changes our lives, it's an eternal change. I used one more example in the text, and I hope that you're still with me. If you just put your hand up if you're with me. I'm not even, yeah, there you are. Now touch that person next to you and be like, hey, wake up, he's almost done. used one more example in Scripture. And what I want to share with you is the same thing I shared with these kids, is this. And one day Jesus got off his boat and he got into a land where he encountered a man who'd been possessed by demons. The demons pulled that man and sent him in the direction, and the demons cried out before Jesus Christ, and the demons said, "Lord, please don't send us away. Lord, Son of the Most High God, please do not command us to leave." Church, if we could just recognize that even the demons know who Jesus is, even the demons know who the King is, and even the demons fear Him. Some of you have lived your entire life, as some of these young people have lived, but yet encountered Jesus this week. They know who Jesus is, but they don't yet live for Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you're wrestling with that. May I encourage you today to surrender to Jesus Christ. May I encourage you today to give your life unto the Lord. Something so cool that's also in this story isn't just that the demons recognized him, but is that Jesus heals this man. He cast the demons out. He sent them from the man and into the pigs, and the pigs flew for a brief moment like pigs have flown, all right? They flew and they died, right? It just ended like that. But as those pigs died, the people who farmed those pigs, the people who raised those pigs, the people whose monetary investment and livelihood was based on those pigs were not happy. And they ran off to the town, and they got the whole town riled up, and the whole town came back and told Jesus, "Get out, leave." Isn't it interesting that the people told Jesus the same thing Jesus told demons? Man, we have people in our community who don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. You have people at your jobs who don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. These young people have people in their schools who don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. Well, guess what? Sometimes people don't want to hear, but we're going to live in a way that they hear, and we're going to communicate His name on our lips. We're not just going to ask that our t-shirt does the work for us. We're going to share the gospel. Now, here's something else that's interesting in this story, is that not only does Jesus do a mighty work in this life, but this guy comes up to Jesus and he says, "Hey, can I come with you?" It says this in verse 35. I think it's Luke 8. Am I right, Caleb? That's all right. You guys are with me. When Jesus... Oh, no, wrong note. Sorry. Man, it's doing so good. Luke 38. Or Luke verse 38. The man who had been freed from the demons begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him home, saying, "No, go back to your family and tell them everything God has done for you." So he went all through the town proclaiming the great things Jesus had done for him. Adults, why would I tell this story to your kids? I don't think they're demon-possessed. I want you to know that. I don't necessarily know if Legion lives within your children, but yet sometimes maybe he does, okay? I understand. It's rough. But I wanted to communicate this story to your children. I want to communicate this story to us because the world around us has given God a false identity. And they've said that God takes away all our problems, all our pain, all our trouble, all our worries. And yet that's not what God does. God leaves us sometimes in our battle. God leaves us sometimes with people who don't love Him. God leaves us sometimes in a struggle. God leaves us sometimes in a place. But what has God promised? That He will never leave nor forsake us, and that God will never give us anything that is bigger than Him and us together. So let me tell you what I told your kids. I said, you got to get ready for the no moment, because so many people have walked away from God because God said no. But what's so cool is this man, he didn't walk away when Jesus told him, "No, you can't come with me." He said, "Okay, I'm going to do the work." He was the only person who knew Jesus in that space. He was the only person who knew Jesus in that time and in that community. And he made it his mission to tell those people who told Jesus to get out to get right. And that's who we're going to be as a student ministry. And that's our goal and that's our objective, because as kingdom people, we live to make known the name of the King. As kingdom people, we are to live in a way where people see God in us. And we want these students, we want these children, we want this church to be a place where the King is lifted up, and where people encounter Him, to worship Him and to live for Him and to lay their crowns down to Him and no longer live for themselves the way the world has told us to. I want to read these verses over you one more time. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 10 says this, "But you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of the darkness and into His wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, and now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, and now you have received the mercy from God." If I could have you bow your heads for a moment, Close your eyes and just be still in this place. Here's what I want to just kind of reveal to you, and this is something that some of you already know and recognize. Man, you came here and you've seen children respond in obedience to the Lord and follow up with baptism. These last couple of weeks we had well over 25 salvations. I don't know the exact number, but God's been up to something and God's been doing a great and mighty work amongst these teenagers. And maybe tonight, if you were honest with yourself and you were real and you were not worried about the outside and what your friends might think of you, what your children might even think of you, what your Sunday school teacher might think of you, if you were real tonight, you would say, man, I don't feel like a chosen person. I don't feel like a royal priest. I don't feel like I'm a part of the holy nation of God. If you're here and you don't identify as a kingdom person, maybe it's true that you haven't given your life to Christ. Maybe it's true that you've been living as your own king. And here's what would be the most foolish thing for you to do, is to let your pride stand in the way of you surrendering your life to Jesus tonight. I know without a shadow of doubt there are people here, maybe online, maybe just listening in their car. Whatever it is, the situation is real to where there is lostness among us, and people need to be set free. People need to respond in obedience as a blind man responded in worship to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Tonight might be your chance to give your life to Jesus Christ and to be forever changed. You don't have to be a teenager to give your life to Christ. He wants you right where you are. Are all your problems going to go away? No. But will you be known as His? Absolutely. You might think to yourself, as some of my friends do, I'm not worth it. God wouldn't do this for me. God would not give Himself up for me. Let me tell you something. You're worth it. There's nothing in your past that can outdefine God. There's no shame that you're carrying that's bigger than God. The identity of the world, the exterior, but God sees your heart. If you'd be willing to surrender your heart to Him tonight, He'll save you. He'll change you. And you can join us as kingdom people. If you're here with everyone's head bowed, no one looking around, eyes closed, and you're ready to give your life to Jesus Christ, would you just put your hand up real tall? No fear, no shame. Don't worry about the exterior. Now it's time to get your heart right with God.